Good afternoon, everyone. I am Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. This is a very special treat for me. My friend Eric Pruitt has been a guest host on Noir on the Radio, one of our sister shows. He's an incredibly talented guy. He's been a filmmaker. He's written short stories. He's a screenwriter. He's a journalist. He's taken time out from his What We Reckon tour, which is his new book, to spend some time with me this afternoon and kind of catch me up on what's happening with him and his life. I'm very, very happy and just tickled pink to welcome Eric Pruitt to the show. Eric, welcome, and thank you for joining me in the middle of your tour.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Pam. This is a real kick. Thank you.
Well, you know, we've spoken before on numerous occasions, but it's always on Noir on the Radio, whether you're reading or guest hosting, and it's always been just a lot of fun. But I kind of am rubbing my hands together thinking, aha, I get Eric all to myself now. The first thing I have to say, though, is whenever you post a photo on your page, it sends me into like a giggle snort because you are so creative with your photos. And as you can tell on the promo we did for this today, I've got you with a goat or a cow or something, a baby cow. I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but it was really crazy. And I thought, you know, why do an author picture? It's a goat. Why do an author picture for Eric when I could do an author picture of Eric and a goat?
Well,
you know,
I have to say, with that picture,
stuff,
thank you. And I have to say, it took an embarrassingly long amount of time to get the sunglasses on that goat. but I got them on there.
So congratulations on the release of What We Reckon. I know that you are on tour, and soon the lovely folks of Florida will get to meet you in person when you have a stop in Tampa on Saturday, November 25th. Our first West Coast Noir at the Bar in Tampa. I'm very excited about that. I'm honored to be co-hosting with Down and Out Books as the co-sponsor of the show, and we'll be live. So we'll be listening to you read from either What We Reckon or another piece, correct?
Oh yeah, I'm planning something real dirty for Noir at the Bar in Tampa. And thank you very much for you and Eric Campbell putting that together too. That November 25th.
How long have I been
Saturday
saying
night
to you, Eric? I've been telling you this for a long time, that I have wanted to do a Noir at the Bar. And, you know, I know that that they're doing one over at Miami for Book Festival a week before, and I'm going to try to go over there. But, you know, I'm so glad you're going to be here. I think it's going to be the most fun ever.
I'm totally looking forward to it. It's, like we said, Saturday, November 25th. And so far
right,
we've got Jeffrey Hess and Steph Post reading alongside with me, I think.
Oh, we've got Terry Lynn Coop. We've got Don Bruns. We've got you, Steph, and Jeff. And with some more good authors coming on, I'm pretty sure. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Poster should be up today/tomorrow.
Yep. And we're broadcasting live, which is another cool thing. So
yes,
let's go back and talk, first of all, about What We Reckon. You know, you have a very interesting history and such a creative side that was unknown to me until you and I started talking about doing this show. I knew that you did film. I did not realize that you were a screenwriter. But most importantly, I did not realize that your short film, Foodie, went on to win 8 major awards in 16 film festivals. That's got to be some kind of a record. Congratulations.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun to go to those film festivals too, because a lot of them were horror themed. So you get to see, you get to see a lot of real colorful folks. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then it just got me hooked. After that, it was like, all right, what's our next film? So we did another one right after that. It's called Disengaged, pretty much with the same team. And then we just about doubled, I think, the festival entries and the awards. And, like I said, it just became an addiction after that.
Did you start off as a screenwriter and filmmaker, or did you start, I mean, where did your, you know, your career start as far as the creative arts?
Now, I'd always written, but I didn't really start getting anything published or produced until about 2012. The year before, I wrote Foodie, the script. I'd been working in restaurants for a long time. I was getting really frustrated, and people were getting on my nerves. So my wife, who's also working in restaurants, I wrote this script. I would go in the other room, write the script, and come back out and read it to her just to make her laugh. And she kept laughing. She was like, you've got to find some way to get it made. And you fast forward a couple of weeks, and the bar I was working at in Durham, I had two documentary filmmakers come in and sit at the bar, and they were complaining about the project they were on. And I asked them if they ever considered doing a narrative film, and they said, if we ever get a script that's good enough, we'll probably do it. And I had the bar back cover me at the bar while I jumped in my car, hauled ass home, picked the script out of the drawer, and brought it back to them and pitched it, and they decided to make it. And then the rest just took off after that.
You know, how serendipitous is that? I mean, that was the moon aligning with Mars, and there you are. How often do you ever hear that kind of a story?
Well, I think those opportunities may pop in front of us, and we may not be ready to see them all the time. So these days, I just keep my eyes peeled.
There you go. I like that.
Might pop up.
That's I think the moral of this story, that the opportunities are there. It's whether we choose to recognize them or not. So I guess the screenplay and then the film were really your kind of launch into all other things. And what I find fascinating now, you know, I've read Dirtbags and Hashtag. I have those. I love those books. And you've talked about them before. But what we reckon is a little bit different. Let's talk about this book. Will you please tell listeners about this story?
Well, what we reckon takes place in East Texas, and you've got these two con artists, a man and a woman, who have wandered into East Texas. They got a King James stolen cocaine that they need to sell. And this is about the fourth or fifth time that the two of these con artists have been put into a new situation, and their partnership is starting to fray a bit at the edges. They do a lot of drugs, so therefore their heads aren't completely screwed on tight. And both figure that this may be end of their relationship, so they're looking for the right note to go out on. I'm hoping that I'm hitting all the humorous notes in it so that you're able to get a laugh or two out of it. And hopefully you don't see what's going to happen next.
Well, you've always kind of, maybe not, I don't know if a spoof is the right word, but you've always laced your writing with a little bit of humor or sarcasm, as the case may be. So I think that readers of Eric Prewitt work will recognize that in what you're doing. Tell me about the tour. How's that going?
Man, it's been a blast. We started out by going up to Eddie Amar's Noir Bar in Washington, D.C. And
God.
Then, it was great. Weaponry. So he has an audience award for the best story, and it's usually a weapon. So, you know, gives you an obstacle to getting in or out of town on public transportation. The first one I won, it was a stiletto. Second one I got also was a machete. This year it was a pirate sword, and
yep.
Josh Packer won it. But after that, we had a book launch for what we reckon the day before at Durham's Regulator Bookshop. Con folks there about 50 books, and we just about sold out of them. And then we went to BoucherCon in Toronto. I'm here in Texas now, where tomorrow night, Friday, November the 3rd, I'll be reading at Interabang Books with Michael Pohl. And November the 4th, Saturday night, I'll be doing Scott Montgomery's Noir at the Bar in Austin with Mike McCrary, Meg Gardner.
Oh my God. You have to tell everybody. I said hello. All my pals, man. It's, you know,
yes.
That, I am so psyched about you coming down because, you know, this is like I'm popping my noir at the Bar Cherry here. So I'm really excited for it. And
well, I'm glad I can be there.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's because of you that I'm actually, you know, going to do this.
Good.
You know, it seems to me that you have such a diverse interest of all things creative. And we had a chance to talk earlier, and you really want to tell a good story, no matter whether it's horror, noir, suspense, and no matter what the platform, whether it's film, stage, page, anything, you just want to tell a good story. But now you're kind of involved in something different. You have tackled investigative journalism, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm very anxious to hear this story. Will you please share? Are you able to share? Because this is a pretty big thing.
Yes, I am. For the last year, for 13 months, I've been working with a partner, an investigative reporter named Drew Adamek, and the two of us dug up double homicide, cold case, in 1971 in Durham, North Carolina. Boyfriend left Valentine's dance to go parking, to go down an old lover's lane, and never returned. The next day, they found their car, and the whole town looked for him for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, a land surveyor marking a property line out in the woods found their bodies. They'd been tied to a tree, strangled, and tortured and strangled, and then cut. Been laying there for 2 weeks. No one has ever, they've never named a suspect. After a while, the case kind of dried up. The new folks quit talking about it, but, you know, the old Durham locals called the Valentine's Day murders. And we looked into it, and everything we kept uncovered was more and more fascinating. And we went over and talked to the law enforcement agency that had the case, Orange County Sheriff. Told them they couldn't help us with anything. We talked to the family. They said, best of luck with your project. We can't help you. And we started just doing our own independent research. After about 2 months of looking things up, from one side of North Carolina to the other, digging up old city hall records, anything we could get our hands on, microfiching old newspapers. And I put together a report, like a little 7-page report. And I brought it back to that detective. I begged him to have one more meeting with us and brought it back to that detective. The top of the first page, in bold up at the top, I had who I believed committed the crime, his name. And that cop looked at it, set it back down on the table, and put his coffee on top of the name and talked to us for 10 minutes. When we were done, he wished us luck and we left again. About 5 minutes later, he calls us on the phone and says, "All right, I want you to come in tomorrow. I'm going to have you sign a few papers, and then I'm going to give you the case file and let you look through it. We're going to have an agreement drawn up between us. Let's quit pussyfooting around, boys. You guys figured out who did it." And ever since then, we've been working in tandem with this story out. Now, the story is going to be an 8-part style of serial. And we've already got 5 of the 8 episodes in the can. And our plan is to drop the first one the week of Thanksgiving and then each one a week after that. Now, not only have we dug up the information on this, but we went around and, you know, initially they had 20 to 30 suspects, and they were never able to rule out 3 of them. One of them is still alive, 2 are deceased, and in one way or another, got DNA on all 3 suspects. And this is going to be measured against the weapon, and hopefully at the end of this, we will have solved the 46-year-old cold case.
Holy crap. I mean... Holy crap. What made you decide you wanted to do this project, Eric? This is fascinating to me.
It's the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life. And I have never gotten tired. I wake up, it's the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning. It's the last thing I think about when I go to bed at night. There's been a couple of days here and there where my wife has demanded that I take a day off from it, like for fear of mental health. But you know, the crime scene happened right around the corner from where I live, so I can't drive home without passing it and thinking about it. I've met the family of the victims, and they've told me their stories. We've recorded some of them. They told us several off dates. You just, after a while, start to feel a responsibility for it. where you're like, you know, I owe it to my audience to tell a great story, but then more than that, I owe it to the law enforcement, Captain Tim Horn, who's helping us with this. I owe it to the family, you know, just to get this story out there and hopefully help play my part in solving this crime.
My God, that is mind-blowing. I mean, did you undertake this project thinking, we're going to solve this case?
No, not at all. In fact, that's kind of become a fascinating byproduct of it. Originally, we just wanted to get as much information as we could to just tell an interesting story. And at first, we were like, this is probably a three-part deep investigative story we can sell to a newspaper. But then each turn you take in the story, there's a whole new twist to it. It's like an onion, except, you know, where you peel off layers, except the
sure.
onion gets bigger. The onion gets bigger as you peel each layer. And so we were just looking to tell a good story. But like I said, as we kept digging and digging, we realized, we're like, this is more than just a news piece. This is something that's pretty big. And to tease a little more, we did track down that living suspect, and we had an interview with him with five hidden microphones and a hidden camera. So we were able to talk to him. I've never sat in a room with somebody like that before.
Wow. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Do you hope to turn this into film?
I would love to. I know that the Captain Tim Horn, he is constantly talking about that this is supposed to be a movie. He's been living with it for a while, so he's thought about it. But yeah, I always vision like In Cold Blood. I would love to turn this into a book like In Cold Blood. But yeah, absolutely, there's plenty of room for a film.
Oh my God, congratulations on a remarkable achievement that, you know, you thought you were unwinding a story. Little did you know you'd be solving a cold case, a triple homicide. That's pretty spectacular stuff. You know, you could go to sleep at night and be really happy with your life if that's what happens, right?
I hope so. And the fun thing is, talking to all of these different law enforcement officers, both from yesterday and today, they all have that one case that got away from them. And so we would talk about this case, and then they'd start to talk about some other case from way back when that they never could solve, but blah, blah, blah. And they would start telling me more details about it. And they're like, well, when you get done with that one, maybe you could come look at this. And I just realized that, you know, in the old seedy Durham underbelly of crime, that you're never going to run out of stories from back in those old days. There's always something going on.
Do you think you want to do this again?
I would like to. I've had so much fun with this one that part of me is going to be sad when it's over. Part of me is going to be very, very happy to turn the page and hopefully we have a good outcome. But I really, really enjoyed myself. It's fun. It's fun to make up the stories and tell fiction. It's a lot of fun. I could do that the rest of my life, but it was really, really refreshing just to find it. A story that truly was stranger than fiction.
You know, it's interesting to me, Eric, because you've kind of got your fingers in a lot of different creative pursuits here. But, you know, you still have to live your life. You still have a family to take care of. You still have to write books. You still have to go on tour. And you still have to do all the things everybody does to keep on living. Yet you've put so much time and effort into this. How do you juggle your time? And how do you, you know, what dictates what is the priority for your day?
My priority is to move forward. And since now, this case, I knew that if I sat down in that chair every day, it worked real hard. If I went up to the police station and got a box and sat down with a case file and took my notes, or if we drove out to wherever to get these interviews, just something every day just to move forward. And then, you know, at the end of the day, have dinner with the wife, sit down and watch some TV, get a good night's rest, and do it all over. I like this touring part where I get to drive around and see people. But I'm no fool. I know to have, you know, a quote unquote working vacation like this.
Well, but you're a storyteller. No matter what, you're a storyteller, and it's something, you know, I love your quote that says, "I'll tell you a story at the bar over a bourbon or in a packed movie house during a film festival. Life is short. In the end, all that remains are the stories." I think that's in your soul, isn't it?
What's that?
You're a storyteller in your soul. You will never get away from storytelling.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've always wanted to entertain. Whether or not I was always good at it, I guess, is for somebody else to decide. But no, I've always wanted to entertain. And I'm one of those kids that you just give a little bit of attention to, and I'll run around in circles and whatever, take my clothes off, have a good time.
Well, you know, certainly you've entertained me over the years now. I love following you. I love listening to you. I love your crazy graphics and your art and your passion for noir at the bar and so on. How long are you going to be on tour for What We Reckon, and where will you be after you finish Texas?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in Texas until the 12th. So I'm in, like I said, Friday, November the 3rd, and the 4th, I'm in Austin at the Noir at the Bar. I'm back in Austin on the 6th. In Austin on the 6th with at Book People with Scott Montgomery, Mike McCrary,
yeah,
and Rick Allerman. Then I'm in Houston, Murdered by the Book, the next night on the 7th. In Nacogdoches at the Boss Light on the 8th, which is What We Reckon takes place, half the book takes place in Nacogdoches. So my little crime book about doing drugs and breaking the law in Nacogdoches gets read in Nacogdoches. Then the next night it's Noir at the Bar in Dallas at Wild Detectives. And that's we've again got Mike McCrary, Max Booth, Harry Hunsicker, J. Suzanne Frank, Kathleen Kent.
Oh, my
Kent.
God.
Yeah, it's a murderer's row. We're going to have so much fun. You're going to have to mark yourself safe on Facebook.
There you go.
And then, and then on the Noir at the Bar in Birmingham, I'll be riding up there with Jeremy Stabile and Grant Jerkins, meeting Chris Irvin and John Mann. So it's going to be a hoot. We're getting a hotel that night. And then the 25th in Tampa.
Do these people even know that you're coming? I mean, I feel like I need to go ahead and put out a warning, you know, a bolo or something on you. Because I know these actors, and this scares the crap out of me. But I'm looking forward to Tampa, that's for sure, you know. How long are you going to be landing on the Gulf Coast where I am? How long will you be in the west coast of Florida?
I believe I get there the Friday the 24th. My sister is getting a beach house in, I think it's Santa Lucia Island.
Right.
And and so I'm going to stay with her, I guess, from Friday to Monday, and just out there. She twisted my arm. And so I was like,
man,
all right,
I'd love to drag you around down my neck of the woods too and set up another one. You know, we'll have to talk about that because.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, with Terry Lynn Coop being here, and I know she wants to talk to you and on her show on Blue Plate Special. And so I'm looking forward to it. You're going to be bringing books with you to sell at Noir at the Bar, aren't you?
I believe that Jason from Polis Books, Jason Pinter, the owner of Polis Books, is working something out with Eric at Down and Out so that they can sell books. It's going to be handled. There's going to be books there. And from my understanding,
I'll call Jason and ask him to send them to me, and then I'll bring them up there for you. No problem.
I think they'll be there. And it's my understanding also that Tampa also currently has an active serial killer. So maybe we can go.
Yes, there is. Yes.
Maybe we can go solve some crime.
As a matter of fact, a young blonde guy who is terrorizing the area. The west coast of Florida actually has had its share, well, the east coast too, but the west coast of Florida and Florida in general has had its share of serial killers, unfortunately. And just as an aside, I went to high school with someone who turned out to be a serial killer on the west coast of Florida.
Okay.
Isn't that bizarre? How do you even reckon that you would know someone who turns out to be a serial killer? Isn't that bizarre? the guy who sits on, it was a long time ago, and this is the story. He actually had a motorcycle accident and was riding without a helmet. And after he had that accident, it was just he was by himself. His behavior changed, and he separated from his wife and moved to the west coast of Florida and went on to kill, I think, 7 prostitutes. And he sits on death row to this day. Yeah, I mean, he was always kind of an odd character, but isn't that bizarre that you say, I went to high school with a serial killer? I mean, it's not like saying, you know, I went to high school with this rock and roll star or something, you know? It's just,
well, they both, you know, they both have their art. It would have been even worse if he'd asked you out and you told him no. And then after that, he went on his rampage. That would have been, that would have been something.
Right? Crazy, crazy. Yeah, the story is very well known. I'll send you a link so you can read about it. But
please do.
Yeah.
I eat that stuff up for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I'll be glad. And I'll put you in touch with the principals if you're interested in finding out more. Are you writing yet? Are you taking a break from it? Do you have an idea for your next book, Eric?
Yes. Yes, I am. In fact, I've been working on it all morning. So that, and then also trying to get – I'd like to see where this podcast takes it too. Like I said, I'd like to write the book of this story as well. So, I've been kind of writing up a couple of query letters this morning as well. So yeah, it's a muscle, and so I believe you got to exercise it. That's what I've been doing.
Well, you know something? Here's the dealio, and you know, you and I are buds. We've known each other for a while now. Anytime you and the storytellers and the gatherers of information want to come on and do your thing, you know I will turn the microphone over to you to go ahead, and even if you want to make it a short series here, I'm glad to do that because I think it's fascinating.
Heck yeah. I can send you a link to our first episode just so you can listen to it and see what we're – a little private link.
Well,
so
I'm thinking that, you know, you have this great story to tell, but I'd like to see you have it in a platform. You know, as you know, we have listeners all over the world. I'd like to see you in this platform and interviewing the people that made this story come alive for you, including, you know, the detectives and your partner and whoever else is interested in being on. How about we do a short series, you know, maybe an 8 or a 10-part series as it comes to life?
Let's talk it over. Let's talk it over and see what we can do.
I would love that. I would be honored to sponsor that show for you. I really would.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric, you know, I'm so glad I had a chance to talk to you. I'm sorry that, you know, we had a lost opportunity last week, but probably it's better now. You're on the tour.
Hurricane.
Things are happening. So, you know, that's a good thing. And congratulations on all your success. I see a lot more success in your future. I really do.
Man, I thank you very much. I thank you very, very much.
And come back. Anytime you want. And then, of course, we'll be broadcasting live from Noir at the Bar Tampa. That's on Saturday night, November 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time. Eric Pruitt, Steph Post, Jeff Hess, Terry Lynn Coop, Don Brun so far. We'll probably have 3 or 4 more really great authors there to go ahead
Panini's Bar and Grill.
Panini's Bar and Grill in Lutz, Lutz. You can send me, just find me on Authors on the Air. Find me on my Facebook page at 4 Pam Stack. Find Eric Pruitt, that's E-R-Y-K Pruitt, on Facebook. He'll answer you too. I don't know if he's going to give you the right answer, but he'll give you an answer. There you go. And if you're on tour, your tour dates are listed on your page, Eric, are they?
Absolutely.
All right, go find Eric on Facebook, go to his website, and definitely buy the book, What We Reckon. It's published by Polis Books. Jason Pinter is a hell of a great publisher and a friend. And you won't be disappointed, I promise. And then go back and look at Hashtag and Dirtbags, Eric's other books. You're going to love them. Eric Pruitt, you rock, my friend, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye. And that's our show. I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Thanks for being with me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.